So today is our second week in this Lenten series on the five habits of highly missional people. And through this sermon series, through the season of Lent, we are traveling together into the practical application of living as disciples of Christ in the places where we live and work and play and even worship. Each week during Lent, we are looking at different parts of the acronym BELLS, B-E-L-L-S. And BELL stands for Bless, Eat, Listen, Learn, and Sent. And the BELLS method is proposed in a book by Michael Frost called Surprise the World. Some of you are reading it along with us in this series. So each week during this series, you get homework. And last Sunday, the homework was, I ask you to bless three people. And many of you have done that. I mean, I've heard your stories about how you've blessed three people in your lives in different ways. And I've asked, and I would encourage you to share those stories with one another. You can do it in your Sunday school class. You can do it informally. But also, if you'd like to maybe record what you've done on our church's website, you don't have to leave your name. Just tell us what you've done as a way to encourage one another. We want to see your stories. This week, we're talking about the second letter in BELLS, the letter E. And that stands for eat. And your assignment is to eat with three people. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Thinking about this, I reflected back on my time in college and also in seminary. And I have to admit that my favorite part of each school day was the dining hall. Not for the food, of course, but for the fellowship that one would find there. There were some students who would be waiting at the doors when the dining hall opened, and they would rush in and grab their food and wolf it down and head back to study. One of them was probably our valedictorian. I don't know. I, on the other hand, I would choose to wait a little while and arrive about halfway through the mealtime when the most people were there, and I would get my tray and I would go find a place to sit, and I would talk with whoever was at the table. And when I was done eating, I would go get a cup of coffee and sit back down and keep talking. And as the room cleared out, I would call friends over and we would continue this conversation until we were the last ones to leave. And now as I look back, I might have been valedictorian if I had spent more time at the library and less time in the dining hall. But to be honest, I wouldn't trade those conversations for anything in the world. It was just wonderful having this time to get to know people, to share our stories, to encourage one another. Eating. It's not just about filling our bellies with food. It's about fellowship and community and hospitality. For us as Christians, it's really about Christ. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So before I dive into this week's missional habit of eating, I want to talk once again, about what is a missional habit. Habits, as we know, habits are those practices that are ingrained in us, those practices that define us. A habit is who we are. And missional means that we are alerting others to the reign of God in this world. Missional habits are the things that we do that point us to Christ. But missional habits are also the things that point others to Christ through us, through our actions and our words. Missional habits are like signposts to God, signposts that we are carrying around each and every day. Now, back to eating. I could offer you endless statistics about how much meat or ice cream or coffee the average American consumes in a year. I'm not going to do that. Trust me, it's a lot. But we eat a lot because we eat a lot. I mean, 3 meals a day, 21 meals a week, 90 meals a month, 1,095 meals in a year. Eating is a habit. So how can eating be a missional habit? Well, as I said, eating is a habit. We all eat to live, but we also eat for the joy that it brings us, whether it's the fellowship or maybe just the wonderful food on the table. And Jesus is no exception. So much of his ministry took place at tables. I have a sermon series planned that's based around a book on Jesus eating. A Sunday school class here is reading a book about Jesus and meals and the table. So when Jesus tells his disciples these words, we're not really that surprised. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. That's what he tells his disciples in Luke. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. Now his enemies used this against him and accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard. But he wasn't. His enemies also accused him of associating with tax collectors and sinners. Yeah, he did that. For Jesus, meals were a ministry because in them he recognized an opportunity to connect with people in a way that you just can't do at any other point in our day. Beyond just eating to live, there is power in the practice of eating together. And we can see this power in three different ways: in hospitality, in belonging, but also in holy practices. So let's look at the first one, hospitality. A table, quite obviously, is a place for hospitality. Hospitality is the practice of welcoming. It is welcoming someone into your home, into your work, into your church, into your club, maybe even into your family. And true hospitality comes with no strings attached. There is no quid pro quo in hospitality. As we bless and as we eat, we come bearing the gospel of Christ. But we don't make our fellowship or our blessings contingent on anything that the other person does. We're not asking them to convert. We're not selling Jesus as a product. We are simply to live like Jesus. We are to act like Jesus. We are to treat other people as Jesus would, because that is what he calls us to do. And one of those things is to eat with them. Our missional meal should be a place of hospitality, where all are welcomed, just as Jesus welcomed. Secondly, the table is a place of belonging. We're all looking for a place to belong. We all want to know that we fit in somewhere. We don't want to feel alone, and the table is a place where we can show others that they can belong, that they can be safe here with us. Now, Jesus willingly ate with people from all walks of life. He dined with the Jewish elite. He dined with the Pharisees, also the much despised tax collectors, the marginalized, and the sinners. There were no requirements to being able to eat with Jesus. There were no bouncers at the door judging who was desirable and who wasn't, who could come in, who had to stay outside. For Jesus, a meal was an opportunity to share a loaf of bread, a cup of wine, to share with one another. In our reading today from Matthew, did you hear the Pharisees complaining about Jesus, complaining to Jesus' disciples and asking them, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? Well, when Jesus hears them asking this, he says, those who are well have no need of a physician. The sick, they need a physician. In other words, he's telling the Pharisees that they don't need him because they are righteous. They aren't. They just see themselves that way. And he goes on to say, for I have come not to call the righteous. I have come to call the sinners. Since those Pharisees are so righteous, they shouldn't be concerned with any of this. Jesus is here for the sinners. But the Pharisees look at him and see him as a rabbi, saying he should only be eating with the good people. But Jesus says, no, even the sinners have a place at Christ's table. We see this most vividly in the words of the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist writes, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even a place where we feel endangered, God is there creating a safe space at the table for us, a place where we can belong. If the Pharisees would just open their eyes, they would see that they belonged at the table as much as any sinner. Missional meals should be a place of belonging, not exclusion, a place of safety and acceptance. So as you create a missional meal this week, how will you make your table a place where others feel that they belong? The reading from Matthew begins with Jesus calling one of his disciples. Jesus is walking along when he encounters this man named Matthew, who is sitting at a tax booth. He was more a toll collector who would sit beside the main road, and those who came by with wagons full of grain or goods would be taxed for what they were taking. And tax collectors weren't the most highly regarded people in society. They were Jews who were viewed as working for the Romans. They were also known to be notoriously corrupt. You might say, I've got 12 bushels here. The tax collectors say, well, looks like 15 to me, and charge you for that, and maybe pocket the difference for himself. That was their reputation. But Jesus says to Matthew, follow me. Matthew complies. Honestly, there may have been more interaction than that. Jesus may have spoken to Matthew at some length, gotten to know him. But it doesn't matter, because in the end, Matthew became a Christ follower. And then immediately, did you notice? Immediately after that, they're at a dinner party at a house. Possibly it was Matthew's house. And the room is filled with tax collectors. And these would be Matthew's colleagues. So it makes you wonder, did Matthew call them and say, hey, I've found the one who transforms lives. Come and meet him. And they come. And they dine together, sitting at table with Jesus. And the Pharisees witnessed this. And they don't get it. And they ask Jesus why he associates with these obviously unrighteous people. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners? So what's going on at this table? What's going on is transformation, the power of transformation. Matthew has called his friends and he said to them, come, eat with me at the table of this man who has showed me that life can be different. And it can be for you as well. The table can be a place of hospitality, and because it can be a place where people belong, it becomes a place of transformation and change. The table itself is powerful. And finally, the table is a place of holy practices. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was in the habit of taking the ordinary things in our life and making them holy and sacred. And at the table, he takes the wine and the bread, and he tells his disciples that when they eat this and drink this, they are commemorating his life. He makes these simple things sacred. And what's most interesting about this is that the bread and the wine, as Jesus presents them, are bookends for the meal. The bread is broken before the meal. The wine is poured following the meal. The meal itself was the very center of the communion. And for us, communion means a gathering together. There is power in the meal together. When we eat missionally, the meal becomes sacred. So my question for you is this. What does it mean to eat missionally? What does it mean to eat questionably? Now, last week we talked about this questionable living. I love this idea. Questionable living is living in such a way that your actions compel others to take notice of what you've done and ask the question, why did you do that? But questionable living should also point them to the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. So questionable living is both the question and the answer. Why did you do that? Oh, I see. Because of Jesus Christ. And questionable eating is exactly the same. Who do we eat with? How do we treat them? Where do we eat? Does the person feel safe? Or do they feel like hospitality has been extended to them? Do they feel that this moment is sacred? That is questionable eating. And so, as I said, your homework for this week is to bless three people. Yes, you heard me right. We are developing missional habits, and so we're not dropping blessing. We're continuing on. We're adding eating along with the blessing. So your homework is to bless three people, but also to eat with three people, at least one of whom is not part of the FPC family. And you can do this however you wish. You can eat with three people at once, or you can spread it out. It can be a full banquet meal, or just a sandwich, or a cup of coffee. But the point is to meet them at the table and engage with them. Talk to them, but more importantly, listen to them. Listen to their story. Don't judge them. Make the moment about them, not about you. And the point is that you are intentionally engaging with someone with a meal or coffee or donuts or whatever. You're exhibiting hospitality, and you're sharing the love of Jesus Christ. You're showing belonging. You're making this a holy moment, a very small holy moment, it can be, but a holy moment nonetheless. Oh, and here's a pro tip for any of you who may feel overwhelmed by blessing and eating. You can combine the two. You can bless someone when you eat with them. So your homework for this week is to ask yourself the question, what is it going to take for me to eat questionably? What is it going to take for me to model the life of Jesus Christ at the table with others? Amen.